this. Recall, I had shown this schematic here on how we were using polystyrene particles and we were coating them with the polyvectrolite to grow a silica shell on the top to kind of get rid of the free surface.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turns out, polystyrene is the only polymer that we can actually coat with a silica shell. And we can't do any other polymer particles, and we really wanted to. And we tried for 3-4 months, and it just didn't work. And we could not find any papers in the literature that had successfully coated any other polymer besides polystyrene with silicon. And we couldn't quite figure out why. And one of the nice things about academia is, you know, these kind of discoveries that go unplanned, I think. And so we were really trying to do this, coat other polymers with silicon. And, of course, this is a sequential process. You have the polymer particle, then you coat with silica. I was like, well, this is not working. Maybe we can try and do some type of in situ thing, you know, grow the polymer particle and silica in the same reaction, and maybe it, maybe that will help. And so we actually tried that, and you need the right conditions to do that type of polymerization. And growing silica has to be under basic conditions. So you needed polymers that you could synthesize under those conditions. And these were the two monomers that we had. And we thought, okay, maybe this will allow us to get the core shell. But it actually allowed us to get to something completely different. And I'll jump to the end. But where we have taken this now is you can take a single, say, pre-made gold particle. Now they don't have to be. A single pre-made gold particle. You mix it with TEOS, which is precursor for silica, and then your two monomers, and you allow this actually right reaction to run. And of course, we were trying to do it first with have the reaction run simultaneously, that you get your polymer form and then maybe your silica will form around it in situ. But actually, what we get, or what we made happen then, is there's an attraction between the gold particle and the silica. That you get the silica actually going to the gold particle surface and then reacting. And as it turns out, the reaction rate of the silica is actually much greater than the reaction rate of the monomer. So you have your gold particle in the center, and then your silica condenses, which is represented by the green here, and then you still have your monomer hanging around the outside, and over time that polymerizes, and that's what gives you the yellow or orange layer. And then what you have is a core shell structure where your core is gold and your first shell is silicon and then your next shell is polymer. And you can in one step carbonize and remove, carbonize your RF, your polymer, and then remove your silica. And then that leaves you with a single gold particle encapsulated in a carbon shell. And again, the process is scalable and this all happens. Well, this happens in one step and then in one step, so it's a two-step process. But you see quite nicely that you can get your single gold particle encapsulated inside of a carbon shell. And again, you can ask, well, you know, why would this be important? And I think it's important in here, this area, say, high temperature catalysis. And so you want to use these metal particles as a catalyst. And if you want to use them at high temperatures, then you really don't want them to be close to one another because they'll coalesce or sinter. And the question you ask, well, what is one way to actually prevent these single particle catalysts from coalescing? Well, you just encapsulate them in a very stable shell. And here, this is a carbon shell, so it's quite stable. You can do really high temperature reactions, and nothing happens. And of course, your metal catalyst will never coalesce with another one because you only have one per encapsulant.